Okay, y'all, we're about to get started now. Thanks again for coming. And like I said, if you didn't get a handout last week, let me know. And in fact, you can just raise your hand. And as Cameron gets started, all right, I'll come around and pass those down to y'all. But we're going to get started again. And Cameron's going to interview here Lexi and Lizzie. And again, part of the purpose of this is really just to kind of get the perspective of various folks in the congregation and kind of how they view hospitality and how we can improve in those areas from kind of the way they experience it. So without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to Cameron.
All right. I'm going to let you introduce yourselves first, tell who you are, what you do, and just a little bit about your church background. Lizzie?
Hey, I'm Lizzie. I just graduated from college in December, and now I am doing some long-term sub jobs before the end of the school year in elementary school. And I love it. And my church background, my dad's a PCA pastor, so I grew up in the church.
Okay, Lexi.
I'm Lexi. I teach fourth grade at Stonehaven School with Pam Grote back there. I'm in my sixth year teaching there. I also grew up in the PCA church. Is that all?
Your dad is an elder.
My dad's an elder at Midway PCA. Okay. And, my mom's involved with their women's ministry.
Okay. And how long have y'all been coming here?
I've been a member for 2.5 years, I think.
Okay.
I was a 2 years ago. I joined October 2007.
All right. And then as far as what's been your experience of hospitality here at Christ Community Church, both when you first started coming and then as you have gone along?
So I started coming sporadically when I first came to school, like 4.5 years ago. And I didn't really talk to anyone because I was this tiny little quiet 18-year-old. I think when I joined the church and I was working with children's ministry more, I just got to know people more. And I mean, I knew all the families because I knew all the kids. And I think as a college student, felt like the church really served me so well as far as hospitality goes. I think this church has a really wonderful ministry with the college students. I was, Barbie and Clay did the adopt a college student thing, and I'm good friends with them, and they had me over all the time. And there's just lots of families in the church that have loved me really well and pursued me on Sunday mornings just to ask how I'm doing and ask how classes are going or student teaching. So that's been my experience up until now with hospitality here.
I feel like mine was, I had a little bit of an easier time. I knew a lot of people in the church already just coming from Midway. It was initially only those people who would kind of approach me and talk to me, but actually what made me say, yes, this is a church, from previous experience, I just knew as a single person, it's really hard to come into a church, get involved. I've visited a lot of churches, and the thing that kept me here was actually Cameron. And you know, all the churches, you have those little cards that you fill out, right? And I would fill out the cards going to other churches, and I heard back from no one ever. And that was really discouraging. And I remember it was my third Sunday, because Cameron mentioned this, on the third Sunday I was here, I filled out the thing, and there was the option to circle first Sunday, regular attender, or something else, and I scratched out first Sunday and wrote third. And I got an email from Cameron the next day. It was either Monday or Tuesday that just said, I'm so glad you've been here for 3 Sundays. And, you know, they asked if I would, you know, got lunch with him and Susan, and I just felt like that made me feel seen. And so that's what I was like, okay, thank you. Like, somebody responded to me, thank you. You know, I wasn't just, and then I pretty quickly got involved. I just knew, I was like, I have to plug myself in. I have to get involved in order to get to new people. And so got involved with nursery ministry and joined a book study group. And so got to know those women. And then working with the youth group and getting to know Dave and Amanda and Widener's, Wagner's, and the Matt and Kate. So it's it just gets easier as it goes along.
So for you, Lizzie, the Adopt a College Student Program, you can make a plug for this now that you're post that. How important was that to feeling welcomed and part of the local church for you?
I think it was important just because they sought me out on Sunday mornings, but also had me over to their house outside of church and helped me build community there. And both the Oldhams and, I knew the Calvins from RUF too, but I think those two families specifically just kind of welcomed me in a little bit, both on Sunday mornings, but also outside of church, and invited me to their small group. And I think that was huge to just helping me build community here, not just with college students. I think that's the, like, sometimes the danger is we stick with people that we know and that we are similar to. And so, like, just coming to church and being with college students in the morning was, I think, really tempting at first. But small group and the Adopt a College Student program, and just really a lot of other families, the church that sought me out, helped me build community that was just outside of my, like immediate community, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Now, what's different now that you're transitioning, making the transition? What are your hospitality, we'll use the term need, but what would be beneficial to you as you're making that change from college student to the working world, which, by the way, we talk quite a bit about with the college students, that is a very difficult transition. Colleges, there's no other analog for anywhere else in life. Nowhere else do you live with an affinity group of people and sin in mass. Except in the cult, or just have the kind of free time and time for each other, right? I mean, that's one of the difficulties for the transition is she has friends who are married. She has friends who have kids. She has friends, and they work, and, you know, staying up past 10 is less attractive these days and less likely. So with all that, a whole new set of life experiences, which it's now ubiquitous for us. It's just the air we breathe. But for her is brand new and interesting and you know, anxiety-producing in everybody who makes that transition, it seems. So with all that preamble, how do you see a different need now?
Yeah, so I totally agree with what he said. I kind of feel like right now I'm like what am I doing? And I just don't really feel like I'm standing on steady ground right now because I don't know what life's supposed to look like and friendship is supposed to look like. So I don't really know a specific need that I have hospitality-wise. I think my fear is that, you know, like, this is, I don't know, this is gonna sound super irrational, but this is just the fear that I've had in my head, is that, you know, the ways I was loved as a college student were because of the stage life that I was in, and not, you know, for who, you know, not for Lizzie, I guess. And so my fear is that, you know, is that it is going to look different for me to have relationships outside of, you know, what I had the past couple of years. And I just don't know what it looks like yet. So I don't know what specific needs are. I just think it's important for me to still feel pursued, even though that I'm out of college now. And like Lexi was saying, like being single and being in the church is just really overwhelming and challenging. And so I think still feeling like I have community here and that I'm loved and pursued here and that I have places and outlets to serve here is going to be important for me. So,
Lexi, what about for you? What's been the biggest challenge for you as a single woman who is working in the field that you feel called to and participating in a church? What are some of the greatest challenges, and how could we as a church better think about hospitality toward all the single folks who are in our church?
Sure. I would say for me it's the same as Lee, just that desire to be pursued as well, or an interest in you and who you are, and not for what you can do. I've had a lot of times where, like, I've been called and like, hey, can you babysit my kids? I'm like, yeah, I would love to babysit your kids. And then you don't hear from those people. It doesn't seem like they're invested in you. It's just like, what can you do? And so I think, like, and I guess you would say too, like, we love to serve you and your families, and but to be pursued in relationship outside of that as well. And I think maybe sometimes there's a misconception of singles, like, oh, you've got, like, your friend group, and you've got your whatever, and you are always, like, hanging out with people, and that's not true. And so just to, like, be invited into your life. I think there's a misconception of hospitality of, like, I think Cameron and Bonnie and I were talking about this oh, well, they don't, you know, they don't want to be involved in the mess of my life or my kids or whatever. And so I think part of that is just putting those assumptions of people aside. The hospitality is so much more about like serving another person and referring them over like that sacrifice of your convenience or your, what's the word I'm looking for? Just, you know, like it takes, I've been talking to my fourth graders a lot this week about love takes sacrifice, and, you know, your convenience and your pride and your, you know, assumptions and whatever. So, yeah, I think it's just, you know, putting aside assumptions and pursuing people just for who they are. And then us the same, like having misconceptions of, oh, you know, if I ask their family out to lunch, they're not going to want to go out to lunch, you know, with me or whatever. You know, it goes, if the ball swings both ways. So, yeah.
Okay. Do you view your singleness as a disease that needs to be cured? And follow-up question, would you like for us to view your singleness as a disease that needs to be cured?
When you desire to be married, right?
Sure.
Have children, there's this, I think the ball swings both ways. People are afraid to talk about your singleness or they talk about it too much. But it's the same way with kids, right? Like if you, if the only time you're thinking of a single person is when it's like, oh, I know a single guy. Who do I know that's single? Oh, Lexi is single. Let's, like, they would be kind of like, do you know me? Do you know him? Do you know anything about us? So in that sense, it feels like it sometimes.
Sure.
I know that it's, like, I know that it's not. But I think it can, the church, it being in the church sometimes, it can feel that way. There's like a knowing versus a like how it's.
Yeah. You have anything to add to that?
Just agreed.
Yeah. And this is one thing I would say, and y'all can shoot this. You can vote this up or down. We're Presbyterians, after all. One of the things I think that's difficult is to be invited over along with your single cousin. Instead of just being invited over for who you are, which is, I think, the point you're trying to make, is get to know me first.
Right.
And certainly, she has a desire to be married. And yep, if you do have this hidden gem of an awesome cousin who's been doing missionary work in Antigua or something so much he just hadn't thought about getting married, then sure, yeah, maybe. Let's talk about it. But talk about it, right? Not just try to maneuver it. Like, just it's much better, I think, to be open and forward about it. But I also think it's important for us not to see them as something that needs to be cured. Because what gets communicated is, and this is actually to Lizzie's point, you just cared about me because I was a college student and we had an Adopt-A-College-Student program, which is just plug and play. It could have been anybody. It's not Lizzie Godwin. In the same way, we want to make sure that we are getting to know those in our congregation who are single. Now, unrepresented here is divorced and widowed, which adds even additional layers of complexity. And I'll say the same thing, and those who are divorced or widowed, again, you can vote this up or down, but from the conversations I've had, they don't want you to avoid the topic, but they also don't want that to be the only topic. And that in their situation to be something to be seen as a disease to be cured. One thing I'd encourage you in is invite single people to sit with you. Like, one of the things I think that's most challenging for any single person coming into a church is choosing where to sit. Oddly, I've heard this quite a bit. I hadn't heard this from you guys. Y'all have people you know, and I see you sit with people, so I don't know if this is y'all's issue, but I have seen it for other people that just the wear and tear of trying to find somewhere to sit. Now, we can say, well, it's an open chair, just sit there, okay? Stop making, being so dramatic. Well, yeah, but what's it, I mean, it means a whole lot more to say, hey, come sit with us. And know what's going on in that person's life and create connecting points so that you know, they're not always left out. And so also inviting into the mess of your family is important. There's stuff to learn there. Susan and I, when we lived in Macon, we had people in our, I mean, we let it be. They saw what life was like raising our two children. They saw our foibles as parents and benefited from it. hopefully not making those same mistakes. We just didn't try to hide a whole lot, and it really benefited from the people we, that were part of our lives, have said they really benefited from seeing up close and personal for themselves what life looks like, and being able to then ask questions about it for themselves. Is there anything practically that you can think of just off the top of your head that we could be doing better in this regard? Not that you necessarily have experienced it, but just for the sake of others. Could be something you saw another church do well, since you all have other church experiences that we could benefit from, given our circumstance.
Just for like single people specifically?
You can go the whole gamut. We don't want you to feel singled out. I was sitting on that.
I mean, I think for me, since I'm kind of new and where I am, like I'm trying to figure out where I am in life right now, I can't think of anything practical right now. I'm just trying to get my feet on the ground and figure out what's next. So
yeah.
I can't think of anything specific.
It's just a personal, like everybody doing what they can to seek out anybody, not just single people. Like you said, that one person, like pick one person for Sunday that you don't know. Mm-hmm. And I know Kate Osell went to this. She's like, I made it my mission to meet one new person each Sunday. And she's like, it's been working out well for me.
So. All right, Dave.
That's a good question. I guess Lizzie, in terms of transition. How often is interaction with folks who are further along in the world, how often is it kind of advice versus just connecting, and how does that feel to you?
I think people assume sometimes that I just want advice if I'm seeking people out that are older than me. So that's a really good question. I think most of my interactions with people that are in a further along stage of life than me are here at church. And so I think it is super important to me to just have conversations about life and enjoy, you know, time together, and not just, you know, sometimes I'm probably going to ask people for advice, but, you know, for it to not just be that, I think is super important. Yeah.
And that's the difference between relationship and project,
yeah.
which that applies from a hospitality perspective. That's across the board, right? No matter what affinity group anybody's in, nobody likes to feel like they're merely a project versus it being relational. And that can sometimes be a fine line, because sometimes what people need most immediately is advice. Mm-hmm. And not just like, hey. But you got to have the chips to, the relationship has to be there. Any other questions for Lizzie and Lexi? You got any questions for them? All right. Just wanted to cut both ways. All right, Robbie, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thanks, y'all. All right. Well, let's turn real quick. I wanted to read this really quick to Romans 12. And I think it'll be especially sweet, especially just hearing from Lexi and Lizzie just now. Romans 12, verses 9 through 13. I'll just read this real quick. Paul says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality." That's just sweet to me. I was listening to a podcast from one of these kind of life advice gurus who are popular on the internet these days, and he was talking about this struggle he had with feeling the need for affirmation from others. And he's not a Christian, and so the way he resolved it was, well, I just need to teach myself not to care what other people think about me. And the more I can teach myself not to care what other people think about me, then I'll solve my need for affirmation. I won't need that anymore, and life will be good. And I guess if you're not a Christian, that's probably the best you can do in some respects. But think about what Paul is saying here. Outdo one another in showing honor. Just the sort of upside down nature that the gospel does to the way that we think about these things. With our union with Christ, now all of a sudden our identity is in a different place. But it doesn't mean that suddenly we don't care what people think about us anymore, but that we see with gospel eyes. And suddenly the gospel is the lens through which we view one another, and the our previous attempts to get affirmation in our own strength are suddenly replaced by the identity that we have in Christ. And that's a very very encouraging thing, I think. So let's not forget our theology as we think about hospitality. It makes a big difference the way we understand ourselves to be and who and whose we are, as Cameron often says. And so having said that, we talked about last week just a little bit about how we can think about hospitality before the service. You know, that great big commotion as everyone's walking in and things to think about as we seek out others. And then kind of the tips we have to talk about today are just kind of how we think about hospitality after the service, as there's that great big commotion towards the doors after the service. One thing I did want to mention is Amy Peach was talking to me last week about something that they do, and I think probably all of us do it in various ways, but it's a good way to think about this. She said that, you know, they usually sit in a particular spot on Sunday mornings, which has kind of helped them to notice when new people show up in their particular spot in the auditorium. So they can be thoughtful about, as everyone's getting up, to go to that person and say, "Hi, I'm Matt. Hi, I'm Amy. You know, do you want to go out to lunch, or where are you from?" And that sort of a thing. So that's one way to think about it. I say in the bulletin there, you know, we just ought to be thoughtful about who we kind of bump into on the way out. And not just sort of have, I know it's easy, I mean, I do it too, just I have tasks, I don't even have kids, and so I can't imagine, you know, adding on top of that. But I have just various tasks and things like that that I got to do after the service, and sometimes it's easy to just kind of get in that zone and not really notice those who are around me. So you need to be thoughtful about that. And so one way to think about it is, who am I sitting next to? You know, in this sort of area of influence, you might think about it that way. And then who can I reach out to? Another really kind of crucial aspect to this that I think sometimes we do a good job about on some Sundays, and some days we could do better, is just taking advantage of that lunchtime hour to invite people out to eat or over to our own homes to eat. And that kind of gets into sort of the way we view hospitality inside of our homes as well. That's a crucial component to it. We can't really divorce hospitality at church on Sunday mornings from the way we think about hospitality in our own homes. So that's a really good way to kind of let people know, hey, not only am I glad you showed up on Sunday morning, but I'm really glad that you are here, and you know, all of your personhood, is to kind of invite them into a home. Think about, I just am continually overwhelmed by, you know, one of the sacraments that Jesus gave us to remind us of the gospel is a meal. You know, just think about the humanity that's involved in that. And how good that is. And a meal is not that, it's not like you've got to have this program and this, you know, agenda of things to talk about. No, it's very informal. And so it's a good way to kind of let people know, hey, I'm glad you're here, is to take advantage of that. Another thing I think that is really important that we could probably do a little bit of a better job at is inviting people into the spaces of small groups or Bible studies, things that we're doing during the week that we know other members of Christ community will be at, and say, hey, you're welcome to come. We meet at this time. We're doing this. One of the things we've tried to be intentional about is kind of keeping those spaces open to sort of an open enrollment policy, that you can show up whenever and be plugged in. Not that we don't have Bible curriculum that we're doing, or it might be hard to get plugged in, but we want people to know, hey, we're the reason we don't have, some churches do, I've been an intern at a church where they did a season where like 1 month was enroll in the Bible studies or enroll in the small groups month. And then if you didn't do it, you kind of had to wait until the next go around. Yeah. And well, we don't do it because we want people to know, hey, sometimes life gets messy and you're not able to show up. But when you are able to show up, you know, come into that space. We want you to be there. And so take advantage of that fact, you know, invite people into those spaces. And again, that's a good way to communicate. Hey, we're not just glad that you showed up on Sunday morning and filled a chair here in the auditorium, but we want you to be part of what we got going on. We want to get to know you. And then another thing, just to kind of reiterate, be patient with the slow process that relationships are. I think sometimes we just get so frustrated because, like most things in life, we want things to be kind of overnight. And building relationships just aren't like that. You know, there's highs and there are lows. There's the mountaintops and the valleys, and it can be difficult. And so just being persevering, as I've often said in the small groups, I think perseverance is one of those good old words that we probably ought to exercise more often. It's just persevere. There's a lot to be said just for being able to kind of be there and to show up, even when you don't feel like it, and to be there and, you know, in expectance that the Lord's going to do something good. Because he's going to be faithful. And so those are just some practical thoughts about Sunday morning hospitality after the service. But I'd like to hear from you all. I said last week, you know, be thinking about things, you know, that we could improve on or think ways that you've been blessed. As we think about before the service and after the service, is there anything that springs to mind from you all? Yeah.
I think just as a painfully introverted person, going to a new church and hearing somebody say, you know, we have this Bible study on such and such a morning, we'd love for you to come, to me felt like they were checking off their list, like, invited to Bible study, done. And it was the people that would follow up with me, like, the day before the Bible study and say, hey, just wanted to remind you, it's at my house, it's tomorrow morning, we'd love to see you there. That was when I felt like, oh, they actually wanted me to come to their Bible study.
Yeah. That's a really good point, yeah. Well, and it goes to also, you know, Lexi and Lizzie were talking about the connection cards and how, you know, sometimes you can fill those out and not hear from anybody, you know, but it's nice to be followed up with. I mean, that's a good application of that. You know, you don't just make the invitation, follow up with folks and say, hey, no, I really mean this. And that, again, that's a good way to build that relationship as well. So that's a good point. Yeah, thank you, Amanda. Any other thoughts? Yeah, Susan.
One thing that we have done and other folks have done that as far as the after church thing, inviting people to your home and saying, well, I don't have enough food to feed. We've said, okay, we've got this and this kind of leftovers. You know, that'll feed, you know, this many people. So y'all, run to Taco Bell, run to whatever, and bring it to our house to eat. And folks would just, you know, they similarly, what do we do with the park? You know, everyone just goes and grabs something and then, you know, comes to your house to eat.
Yeah.
Or they'll eat up your leftovers. You just, you know, this is what we got. So if y'all want that, fine. If not, grab something on the way and come. And don't worry about whether you've got a big spread or a good setup. You know, because folks really don't care.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Thank you, Susan.
We're visitors. Kelly's parents. But we have never been here that we haven't had people, everybody coming up and talking to us. And one time we were waiting while they were getting their kids and we were standing by ourselves. At least four different people came up and talked to us. Mm. So I think you're doing a good job.
That's very encouraging. Any other thoughts? Sort of to Susan's point, I don't know if you all have read this. I have not read the book, but I kind of know the general outline. Rosaria Butterfield wrote a book called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. And that's kind of her point. You know, she has a really good testimony in this regard, in that she was drawn out from not believing to a believing, or to becoming a believer because of hospitality, really. That she was invited into that space by a pastor who, for many years, just to continue to love her, you know, through all of her rejection of Jesus and doubting and just struggle with that, continue to love her and continue to pursue her, really just through the means of a meal every week and just sort of this open door policy. You don't have to do it in the same way. It's not all of us are gifted, you know, in that particular way with resources or time, but we do what we are called, I think, even as Paul makes clear, to outdo one another and showing honor. So to being thoughtful about how we can do that in creative ways. It's not going to look the same from house to house. But to being thoughtful, I think, is really the key. And just, again, it's neat to see what the Lord can do when we step out in faith. When I was an intern in Paris, the sort of last Sunday I was there, the church had a big picnic, and one of the big deals for them was they would have a rivalry basketball game. So they would form off into two teams, and every year it was a big deal. And so they invited me to participate in their end of year basketball game. It was, I could tell, like, they were really excited. It was going to be a big deal. But on the court, everyone gathers together and they're all in the court, and this big argument breaks out in French, of course, and I can't follow what's going on. They keep pointing to me. I'm like, oh my goodness, what's going on? And so then all of a sudden I see the parting of the Red Sea. Two teams sort of naturally form, but on one side of the court are all the tallest people in the congregation, like all of them. And on the other side are all the shortest people. And somebody walks up to me, and I guess he was sort of the mediator, and he explains the solution they'd come to, and he said, well, the argument we were having was that you're an American, and that means you're really good at basketball. And so the only fair way to do it, we figured, was to put all the tall people on one team and you with all the shorter people on the other team. And we figured that will just like even it out. And I was like, oh no, you have made a terrible mistake. But they were convinced that, you know, for all my protestations that I really was good at basketball just by virtue of being an American. And so the game starts, and of course I would get the ball first. And I just didn't know what to do, so I just heaved it. And I don't know if you've ever prayed one of those prayers where you know it's not going to answer. But like I was just praying, like, please, Lord, let this, by some miracle, land in the... And it just didn't. It just, whew, right past it. And the look of utter disappointment and dread that fell over my fellow team as they realized we were about to get just destroyed was painful. But all that, and that's, there's some illustrations there about not making assumptions and all that. But for all of that, for all of my embarrassment, it was really just neat that they kind of reached out and invited me into a space that was very meaningful to them, and it made me feel loved. And so, like I said last week, there are going to be some times when it's weird and awkward and there's lots of embarrassment to go around. But remember what Peter said, love covers a multitude of sins, and that includes awkward conversations and missteps and things like that. But the Lord's called us to something good, to love one another. Just like, you know, that guy experienced, you know, when you're not a believer, really the only option for you is to be all consumed with anxiety and worry about what other people think about you, or to try to train yourself not to care. And the gospel offers us such a better way of really loving one another well, and doing that thoughtfully with the resources and the gifts that the Lord has given us. So, any final thoughts, pushback? All right. Well, like I said, keep the bulletin, and as you think about things this week, write them down, let us know, and we'll see you all next week. Thank you.
Robbie, yeah. You have another one.
Let me see.
If you don't, I can email it to you.
Yes. Yeah, I do know. Okay.